WildTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight.
Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Now, I put no stock in what any man thinks, only what I know. And what I know is this: the result will be just like the first time. I will put him 6 feet under. Game over.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
Hell of a main event tonight.
We got that for free.
For free.
Like, we got Ricochet and AJ Styles for free, and all I can say is thank you very much, may I have another.
And with AJ Styles beating Ricochet, it sounds like we may be getting another. This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. She's Lindsay. I'm Sorokin. Yeah. What a hell of a main event. That was a hell of a main event. The AJ Styles beat Ricochet and presumably is the number one contender. I have no problem with this. Means we get more matches, which hopefully will lead to a series of matches. You know, because we get series of matches for other championships, this one could be a really competitive series of matches.
I completely agree, and I'm fine with that. But, you know, AJ also had to spend a little time motivating his buddies, the Good Brothers there. He's trying to get them back on track and back on the straight and narrow and on the serious path. And, well,
They were trying to conga, and he didn't want them to conga. And, you know, that's...
He's trying so hard, man, and they're just not helping him at all.
Yeah, they're not. So AJ was doing an interview. They were interrupted by the conga, and he was trying to get him serious. They came out, tried to help out in his match. They got sent it back. The match got restarted, and then we had the hell of a main event, which again, AJ Styles won. Other things on this show, we crowned multiple champions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go through this. So it was Ms. TV, Truth, and Carmella were the guest. We talked about the wedding of Drake Maverick.
Which, I want to talk about that real quickly because that happened in between shows over the weekend. The fact that WWE used Drake Maverick's wedding for a 24/7 title defense, I wholeheartedly applaud that. Also, props to his wife for doing that on her wedding day. Because, yeah, I don't know if I would have been okay with that. But she was cool with it. They shot the angle. You had Truth crash the wedding and take the title back from Drake. There was a whole social media follow-up for this. It was just, yeah. This was, I love that. I love that so much. That is what this title should be, is stuff like that happening all the time.
Yeah, so Truth can't do anything now. People were bothered, but the crowd loved it. Truth said he can't go to the grocery store or have a picnic without looking over his back. He can't, you know, be married. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Because of he's too worried about the title. And we all know what he meant by be married. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, everyone? Then Drake came out. And he was upset. His wife won't talk to him or she won't go on the honeymoon. And they haven't consummated their marriage. which truly responded, fiber is good for that. And then we got a constipated chant. Yep. That happened. So Drake wanted the title shot. R-Truth was able to grant it because no one could interfere in the matchup. He told Hornswoggle the match was on, and within 13 seconds of them coming back from break, R-Truth retained his WWE 24/7 title. Then things got interesting. Lucha House Party, Tuz, Neil Noah, Jose, Cedric Alexander all came out, and, well, they all won the championship. Drake was upset, and then, you know, everyone fled. So there's part one. So Truth escaped for now. But later on in the evening, things were not as, well, good. For one, R-Truth. Mojo and Heath Slater were supposedly having a match that really never took place as R-Truth came out. As everyone chased around, Heath Slater, instead of beating Mojo, beat R-Truth and became the WWE 24/7 champion. R-Truth ended up winning the belt back. Cedric would then beat R-Truth with the lumberjack to become champion. Mojo tried to get it. EC3 hit the 1%er. He got the championship. Carmella took the belt from him. R-Truth rolled him up, and R-Truth got his belt back. That was a lot of champions. But fine, that was fun. That's what this title's all about, fun. It's chaotic and fun, you know?
It gives the show the unpredictability that it needs. Like, it's predictable in the sense that it's going to show up. You're going to have people chasing the champion, but, you know, there's any number of shenanigans that can occur with this, and it opens the doors for a lot of people to get on the show, to be a part of this, to win the title, because you can crown multiple champions, and it's the type of title that it transfers hands all the time. It's exactly like what it was back in the day,
mm-hmm.
right? I hate to compare it to the Attitude Era, but it's exactly like the hardcore title, the 24/7 title. The only difference is you don't have people hitting each other with kendo sticks and chairs and going through plate glass windows and running over people with golf carts and everything else. You have people chasing R-Truth with the occasional fake titty coming out. So I love this. I'm sorry, I do. It's asinine, but it's entertaining because it's getting R-Truth exposure.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting Carmella exposure. It's getting EC3 on TV. It's giving Drake Maverick a role. Heath Slater, I think, has been involved in this. Like, pretty much everybody else that we don't get to see. EY, Eric Young, who just disappears and appears at random, he's been a part of this.
Yeah.
So it's giving guys an opportunity that wasn't previously there and is allowing people to get on the show. Even if they're just running around chasing R-Truth, there's still a chance that at any point in time they could, you know, do rock, paper, scissors. Okay, you're going to win the title, and then you're going to lose it back to R-Truth. But still, for like the 5 seconds or whatever it is, you've won that title and you're on TV. And that's cool. Because then that's like, oh, hey, you know, I completely, like, you know, when Eric Young showed up, it's like, oh my God, that's Eric Young. I completely forgot that he was there.
Mm-hmm.
And then that gave him a slightly bigger role the next week with Seth Rollins, and he's kind of back down chasing R-Truth again, but that doesn't mean that they couldn't do something with him later on.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Mm-hmm. We mentioned Gallows and Anderson. They lost to the Viking Raiders early on the show. We'll see where that goes. They got to find their groove back. AJ found his. Can they find theirs? We'll see.
To be fair, AJ had like a 6-week vacation, so that might be a good start.
This is true. This is true. Very, very true. So, we're changing things up. We're not going to have a wrestling match. We're going to have a good old-fashioned tug-of-war because everyone loves watching big guys battle and pull things. Because they do. It's great television. We saw Braun Strowman practice by pulling a tractor trailer, and then he beat Bobby Lashley in this, and then Lashley, attacked Braun.
I feel like this is basically nobody really wants to see them wrestle.
It's no one wants to see them. Like, they're not... I mentioned this in our review of the match. It's not a great match. But if you're going to give... This gives Braun something to do. Braun's a big guy. He can't be flipping over cars every week. So having him do a tug of war or an arm wrestling thing, it's different. And guess what? It's not taking up a lot of time. And it's
no.
It's showing off his strength. And that's what you're supposed to do. It's giving him something to do. So I like the tug of war. It lasted like a minute, but it was fine. They make it a big deal. So we'll see. I enjoyed it. So that feud will continue. Other things on the show, it was the Usos and the New Day taking on Daniel Bryan, Rowan, and the Revival. This was the first time the Raw and SmackDown Tag Team Champions took on the sort of supposed number one contenders. I didn't know how New Day became number one contenders when they lost last night, but hey, that's fine. So
Kofi won, so therefore they become...
I guess. So Daniel Bryan and Rowan got eliminated first, then the New Day did, leaving the Usos and the Revival. The Revival lost to the Usos, so the Usos will now probably get their title shot. It's crazy. It was weird how they did it. Like, they started as an elimination tag and then turned into a regular tag because there's a new edict that, you know, no matches can take place during the break. Whatever. We'll all learn the new rules. It's a thing. It's a new Vince McMahon thing.
We'll get there.
We'll get there. So, let's talk about what was going on throughout the night. So, at one point, The Miz was walking around backstage, headed to the ring, and we saw something hanging around. What was it?
I don't know. It looks like it's, you know, she looks like it's somebody I've seen before. She was kind of lurking. She's checking out Miz. Oh, wait, I know who it was. It was Abby the Witch, which is really creepy as hell, by the way. Like, that she just popped up out of nowhere. Like, she's just hanging out there and, like, you just see the mouth drop and stuff. I'm sorry, I hate that doll. I really hate that doll. But, yeah, so Abby the Witch was backstage creeping around checking out Miz.
And then, as Kofi was headed to the ring for his segment, which we'll get to in a minute, there was something else spotted.
Yeah. Real, you know, just sort of hanging out. Mercy the Buzzard.
So the Funhouse has now invaded Raw.
Well, maybe Bray was making a visit and he brought some friends.
He may have.
We don't know. No, we didn't see the rabbit, and we didn't see the pig, and we didn't see the evil Vince doll. I don't know if we're going to see the evil Vince doll. And we certainly did not see Mr. Wyatt. There was no Firefly Funhouse tonight. Apparently that's done and over with, so he's probably going to show up here very, very soon. But I really like that you had the puppets lurking.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice, I've been saying this for years, that you needed to have, not that I have any right to make an opinion, but anyway, that you needed to have Bray lurking. Kind of that ever-present evil that's just, like, in the shadows or just off to the side, where he's just that little extra spice of danger, and you don't know what he's up to, and you don't know who he's going after, but he's there, and you see him
mm-hmm.
constantly, and it just adds this layer of danger and adds this layer of sort of almost fear that he has his eyes on everybody. This was a really nice way to do that. With the Funhouse characters, that it's because the puppets in the last one? I think they were at the very end, right?
They were in the episode.
Okay. Well, they've kind of been like the last couple episodes. They've sort of been there, and they sort of haven't been there. Like Abby wasn't there, I don't think.
No, they've all been there.
Okay. All right. I just don't remember when he was doing the gardening thing. She wasn't there. So, anyway, but yeah, this is a nice way to do that with the puppets, is to have them in the context of their Bray's eyes and ears, and they're sort of spying on everybody for him. And it makes them much more creepy, because when you take them out of the context of the Firefly Funhouse and you see them just in a regular environment,
mm-hmm.
they're creepy as hell. Like, you know, especially Abby the Witch, like she, like, creepy as hell, you know. So the fact that you had the buzzard there, you had Abby there, no sign of the rabbit, no sign of the pig, no sign of Bray. That's a nice teaser. So Extreme Rules is what, 3 weeks?
3 weeks from this past, from Sunday.
So you have two more episodes of Raw, one more episode of Raw.
Two more episodes.
So feasibly you could get away with having more the puppets show up for 2 more weeks and then, or at max 1 more week, and then he appears that Monday before Extreme Rules, or he shows up at Extreme Rules. That's entirely possible, but we're getting very, very close to Bray actually being back on TV, and we're us finally getting to see what this is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, again, it's all context, right? You have him in the funhouse, so you have the Fiend, and you have what I like to lovingly call Prozac Bray. And so are we going to see happy Bray, or like overly like trying to be happy Bray? Are we going to see more like a fiendish character, or are we going to get something that's more close to what he was doing there at the end, where it's a little bit of the in-between? And he's basically not the creepy swamp leader anymore. He's exactly what he was. He's just got a different look.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, what is that all going to be? But yeah, I really liked how they had the puppets lurking. That was, even though they're creepy as crap, that was really neat.
Yeah, it was.
Because what was fun was, like, every time that a backstage segment happened, it's like, wait, is there a puppet? Is there a puppet? Is it there?
Yeah, I had to stop whatever I was doing to make sure. It's like the last segment for AJ and Ricochet, I was like, wait, is there anything back there? And I like watch it a couple times and make sure I see the GIF on Twitter. It's like, yeah, no, nothing was there. Nothing was there at all. So, you know, it is what it is. So, we'll see where it goes.
We'll see where it goes.
Kofi Kingston came out. He was going to be interviewed by Charlie Caruso, but Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn were like, nope, we're not going to let you do it. We're going to have an impromptu Kevin and Sami show. So, not Renee, get out of here. I just like that, not Renee. So he asked a bunch of different questions, and they get no answers because they're just really pointless questions. And then Kofi pointed out how Kevin Owens had a zit on his head, because, you know, that's what you do. Zayn called him a paper champion, though, and that would set up the match between Kofi Kingston and Sami Zayn. Kofi Kingston won, which was a fine match. And then Kevin Owens was like, I had enough. I want to fight you. So it was Kevin versus Kofi, which ended about a minute and a half or so after a count out. It seemed like Kevin bumped his head on the ramp, so hopefully he's okay. It was a weird it was a weird ending.
Yeah, it kind of went a little sideways.
But that's okay, because what happened after goes, we're going to get a good match, because Samoa Joe ran out and attacked Kofi Kingston from behind.
Oh my God, it was vicious.
Yeah. He was pulled to the back, then came back and choked him out. So it looks like we're getting Joe versus Kofi, which I'm fine with, even though it makes no logical sense because one's on Raw, one's on SmackDown.
Wild card, baby. Wild card.
It's all about the wild card. So, yeah, I'm okay with that. It's better than Dolph Ziggler. It's better than Dolph Ziggler. That's all I'll say about it. So there was that. Alexa Bliss took on Naomi before the match. Naomi and Natalya were sort of telling Nikki what's going on with Alexa, and, well, she didn't want to hear it. She wanted no part of wanting to hear what they had to say about Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss walked in. It set up a match between Alexa and Naomi, which Alexa won, which was fine. It was a quick little match, which then turned into a tag match as Alexa wanted Nikki to hit Naomi. Natty made the save, so it was Alexa and Nikki versus Natty and Naomi. So there you go.
There you go.
Alexa and Nikki won that matchup. So, fine.
I'll take it. I'm not offended by that.
The more Alexa and Nikki work together, the better. Eventually, there's going to lead to a match between the two, but make sure that's down the road.
But I almost want it to be just based on, and I don't want to do a recap from last night, but just based on kind of what happened last night. I almost want it to be where Nikki is playing Alexa.
And maybe she is.
And maybe she is. Like, they're trying to play each other, and Nikki is fully aware of what's actually going on, and she's just biding her time until she can take Alexa out. Because Nikki Cross is a sneaky devil, so we'll have to see how that goes.
So Monday Night Raw opened with Seth Rollins, who was then interrupted by Becky Lynch. So they talk about what happened the night before, and Lynch brought out, you might say it pays to be the man's man, which was an interesting phrase.
Okay, go on, and then I'll unpack all this.
No, go ahead. Talk about it.
I'm just going to say this because I can't hold this in. Last night and tonight just confirmed who wears the pants in that relationship. And it ain't Seth Rollins. Just going to throw that out there. It's not Seth. Totally not Seth. It's Becky. It's Becky. It's all Becky. And I'm fine with that.
They prove why they're the champions of the division. As they continued to talk, Baron Corbin's music played, and Lacey Evans decided this was the opportune time to run out and tech Becky from behind. So they were brawling. Rollins pulled Becky off of Lacey, and Becky shoved Seth, and it's like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. And like, okay, I'll let you go. Go beat her ass. Baron Corbin came out, and then those two cleared the ring of Evans and Corbin. Corbin took the mic and basically started a little trash talk towards the man and whatever. Lacey did some trash talking, but it boiled down to this. They challenged Corbin and Lacey challenged Becky and Seth to a tag team match at Extreme Rules. Becky had one condition. If they won, then Corbin and Lacey could never fight them again. Corbin said, that's fine, but we have one other stipulation. We want the titles on the line, and it's winner takes all. Before he even could even put the stipulation out, it was like Seth was like, yeah, whatever you want, fine, let's do it. So at Extreme Rules, it's winner takes all, Raw Women's title, Universal title on the line, Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch defending it against Corbin and Lacey Evans. I like this concept.
I'm okay with this. I loved, like, I legit loved when Becky's, like, just beating the crap out of Lacey, and Seth pulls her off Lacey, she shoves the crap out of him, and she's like, what are you doing?
Like, what are you doing?
And he throws up his hands, he takes two steps back, and he's like, okay, alright, I'm staying out of it, and she just goes right back for Lacey. It's just like, don't get in the middle of that. You just let her go. Let him fight. But I have to really honestly say, I kind of love the pairing of Lacey and Baron. There's something about it that just really works. I'm probably in the minority on this, but she gives Baron Corbin that little extra something that he's missing. And I think it's honestly charm and charisma.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when he is with her, he can play off of her. And that's what he's needed, I feel like, for a really long time. Because you see Baron in any kind of social setting, especially when he's on, like, Up, Up, Down, Down, or he's on the Sweets, or he's on whatever, and he's playing off of people, he's really good. And you see exactly why they signed him. Because he's got that smart-ass personality. And he can't really do that on TV the way that he wants to, I feel like, and the way that they write him. But with Lacey, she sort of plays to him and he plays to her, and they're able to work together.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Baron kind of gives that back to Lacey too. And so I really, really, really like this pairing. I'm going to continue to say this about Becky and Seth. Can we not? Like, or after we get past Extreme Rules, can we, like,
move them apart?
Move them apart. And let them go back their separate ways. Like, it's really cute and it's really cool that you've got them together and they're working together, but I don't want this to become, and I think a lot of people are in agreement on this, that where it's the Seth and Becky show and it's just all about them. Because Becky deserves to have her success on her own. Seth deserves to have his success on his own. They have both accomplished a lot in their careers up to this point, and they both deserve to be recognized individually, not as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the problem with this, okay? You may get the Seth and Becky show. That becomes a huge level of pressure on the relationship that neither one of them needs. Nobody really knows how serious this is. Like, they could be casually dating. They could be engaged. Nobody knows. But you don't want to put added stress on the relationship by putting it on TV, because then the problem is, it's you, what do you do if they break up? Like, what do you do? It's almost the expectation that they have to go through certain steps together.
Mm-hmm.
Namely getting married and having kids and doing all that.
Yeah.
So I feel like you just, you know, while it's cute and we love them to death and wish them nothing but happiness, and I hope if they want to get married, they get married. If they just want to live together and be together, that's cool too. But that they're together and they're happy and they do that on the DL, which is, I think, what Becky wants, because she actually told the WWE Universe Twitter to chill out on Twitter.
I saw that.
She's like, all right, that's enough. That's what I want to see. Like, this is fine right now because it's very, very casual and it's just they have a common enemy in Lacey Evans and Baron Corbin, and those two have come together. And so it's like, yeah, we got to team up and fight. That makes perfectly logical sense. This is all great. It's after this that I feel like they need to sort of come apart.
Right. And right now they're the top champion, so it would make sense if you're going to make Becky a prominent champion on the show, like keep the divisions equal, it makes sense for the two of them to be aligned. The fact that they're boyfriend and girlfriend right now, that's sort of an added little thing to it.
That's just a bonus for WWE. Like, it really is the fact that they're actually dating, because that's a whole next level that they can tap into, and it just adds a layer to the story that they're trying to tell. Instead of the two top champions awkwardly coming together, it's they're dating.
So there's
an automatic connection there.
Yeah. So Shane McMahon last night at Stomping Grounds made himself a little handicap match, which was then turned into a 2-on-1 match that the announcers spoiled before they did the introduction of it. But hey, they're just going off their script. So it was Shane McMahon and Drew McIntyre versus Roman Reigns, and they're just beating down Roman Reigns. Move after move after move. He got put in the barricade, the ring steps, you name it. He was laid out. Shane was able to hit a spear while McIntyre held him up. He hit a claymore kick, and Shane was going to the top rope to do the one thing we know he loves to do. Going coast to coast until the gong hit.
What? Where did he come from? Y'all, my grumpy old man is here. Where did he come from?
Taker came out of nowhere. Shane McMahon jumped into a chokeslam. Big boot to McIntyre. Taker stood tall, did the throat slash towards McIntyre and Shane. He helped Roman Reigns, did the Undertaker.
Okay, first of all, I am overjoyed. I screamed. Rock can confirm it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really curious to see where this goes, because I think everybody kind of assumed, especially with Taker, that after Super Showdown, before the match, not after the match, before the match, that Super Showdown was going to be kind of it for him, and then he was going to go on hiatus until WrestleMania. That's typically what he does.
Or until they were back in Saudi, yes.
So, you know, it's like, I don't think anybody had any expectation that he was going to be there. The fact that they can sneak that large of a human around is a little obscene. Someone as big as Taker, and if you've ever seen him in person, he's massive.
Oh my God, he's massive.
Oh my God, he's massive. Yes, he should not be able to be that sneaky. Like, you should not be able to get him completely unseen into a building and no one know about it. And that's the thing. No one knew about this. There were no rumors that The Undertaker was there. There were no leaks. No nothing. They got him in that building and nobody saw him. A+ on that. That was a huge surprise because nobody saw that one coming.
Which means he either flew in really late last night while they were doing the pay-per-view, so no one was paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
Or he flew to another city and was bust in today. Either way, no one knew it.
Yeah, my guess is they probably flew him in last night and they had him and they brought him in.
Yeah.
Like, they sent him to another city and they brought him in. That's probably what they did. But in any event, A+. Now.
And he probably sat on a bus all day, so no one knew he was there because, you know, reasons. Because Bray Wyatt was backstage. That was being reported. No one knew The Undertaker was there.
Right? Bray is the smoke screen. That's why Bray Wyatt's really there. Because they're sneaking The Undertaker into the building. That's what's really going on here, is everybody's like, ooh, Bray Wyatt's there! And meanwhile, The Undertaker's just walking past, like, sup, y'all? No. Okay, anyway, so back to the story of this. Very curious to see how this goes, because the last time The Undertaker and Roman Reigns saw each other was at WrestleMania, where Roman beat The Undertaker. And The Undertaker had to be... The Undertaker, like, laid down his hat and his glove and his coat. He almost got naked in the middle of the ring. He hugged his and kissed his wife. And he left. And everybody thought he was retired. So that was the last time Roman and The Undertaker really met. Now, if you ever experienced The Undertaker back in the day, 10 years ago now, good lord, it's been 10 years, back when he was full-time, this man, we all love him, does nothing out of the goodness of his heart. Absolutely nothing. So there's a motive here.
But what?
But what is it? What spurred The Undertaker to get up off his couch, fly to the West Coast to confront Shane McMahon and Drew McIntyre and help Roman Reigns? And mind you, the last time Shane and Taker met was at WrestleMania another year in Hell in a Cell, where Shane tried to kill himself by jumping off the top of the cell. I think it was Shane's first year back, too.
Yeah, it was his return.
And there's history...
Because Vince booked him against The Undertaker because Shane made his return.
Yeah, because Shane wanted it. So there's not as much history between Drew and Taker. I think there's a little from Drew's first run with the company, but there's not a lot.
There's no real backstory.
There's no real backstory there, but the ties are Shane and Roman. So again, I'm very curious to see what the story is, because the outcome of this is the tag match between Shane and Drew versus Taker and Roman at Extreme Rules.
Yeah. Interesting, huh?
Fine with that.
And if this leads to Undertaker, Drew McIntyre in a one-on-one match, say at a big show like SummerSlam?
Okay.
Okay. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I'd be okay with that, because there's your young guy to carry the old guy around for 15 minutes.
Yeah, Taker doesn't necessarily have to do a lot in this match. Drew and Roman can kind of carry it. Shane and Taker can kind of get in. They can do a couple moves. And then they're done.
It's fine. It works perfect. You get a big name on the show.
And hopefully nobody smacks their face on a door this time.
Yeah, so Undertaker showing up was the big highlight of the show. Show was good tonight. I enjoyed it. There was nothing on this show that made me scratch my head. There was nothing on this show that said, oh my god, why am I watching this show? I was not bored through this show. It kept me entertained. And that's what you need.
I like the pacing of this show.
The last 2 weeks have been really good pacing.
Like, whoever's now pacing out the show is doing a nice job of keeping it moving, keeping it fresh. We're getting a lot more talent on the show than what we've been seeing in the past, where it was, you know, there was only a handful of people making the show. Now there's a lot more on there. We're getting a lot more content. I like that you're mixing the backstage with the wrestling, with the in-ring segments. I'm liking how they're presenting it right now. Like, whoever has come up with this vision of it, it's a nice vision.
I'll say this. People are going to be mad that there are no 20-minute matches on Monday Night Raw anymore. You don't need them.
Save the 20-minute matches for the pay-per-views.
That makes them special. Just saying.
If everybody has 20-minute matches, you know, not as many people get on the show. Exactly. If you do 10-minute matches, you get
a lot more people on TV.
Get a lot more people on TV.
And more angles across and more stories to tell, and that makes it a more compelling show. But this has been the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. This Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, The Rack turned 7.
Lucky 7. That's right, y'all. We've been around that long. I feel old. But tune in, because we've got news, notes, NXT, SmackDown, all your favorites. And we will be talking about this past Sunday's Stomping Grounds, which was far better than people thought it was going to be. So, knee. I'm an adult. And yeah, so it's The Rack. Turn 7, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Rock Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's another edition of CB Radio. Did you know in like 10 weeks we have 600 episodes of CB Radio?
That's obscene.
Yeah, it's a lot of episodes. But hey, we're doing great in the Great Debate on National.
Wait. So is it the longest running episodic podcast on the WTR network?
That could. I can't say it. Nope, not going to do it. Nope. Anyway, so yeah, CBRio Saturday night, midnight. Yes, Tweet of the Week too, Thursday. Yeah, Tweet of the Week as well.
Yeah, all the favorites. Yeah,
all the favorites and all that fun stuff. But we're doing Greater Great Debate on National Anthems. Go best to listen to the Greater Great Debate on summer blockbusters from the years 1979 to 1989. Now available at CBRioLive.com. Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday night. We'll post show 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Make sure you use creator code ROCKETSOCK in the Fortnite item shop if you'd like to support the channel. If another way to do that is by linking your Amazon Prime account to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free and support the network, because that would be a cool thing to do, which is at twitch.tv/WTRLive.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn Sward, LANSWRD.
So this has been the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, which is youtube.com/MBG1211. We will see you Thursday night for the rack, and right back here next Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, for the Raw Post Show. Long the airwaves, the Wild Talk Radio Network, right here at wildtalkradio.com.
WildTalkRadio.com.